Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, during the week, it was a very interesting event all about food trends called Table to Tech, which was organised by the Irish Food Service Alliance. I met two very interesting people. One was Simon Stenning, who is a food futurist, and also Doug McMaster of Silo, which is a zero-waste business. And his whole purpose is about having no bin in the kitchen and no waste. Here's Doug explaining how it came about.
I'm a school dropout. I'm never diagnosed as neurodivergent, but I definitely associate with various different attributes from that sphere. Just got called dumb at school. And sometimes those negative experiences can be the greatest fuel to ambition. And I didn't really know where to go with that. I became a chef because somebody that I really looked up to was a chef. And he said, "Do you want a job washing dishes?" And so just got into cooking, had a massive chip on my shoulder, you know, the world called me dumb, so I had to prove that, you know, I was not so dumb.
Well, hold on now, you're underselling yourself here. You're a chef of some renown, you've worked at Nomu, you've worked in the Fat Duck, Heston Blumenthal's restaurants, so I think you're underselling yourself here.
Yeah, but I think that what happens next is that is very important, because there's very few people that can commit to building a zero waste restaurant, and you need an enormous amount of determination and grit to persevere against an industrial food system. And we've created a regenerative zero waste food system. Now, it is like a fish trying to climb a tree. You know, that is not a natural environment. It is not an environment for environmental restaurants. It's an environment for capitalist restaurants, money. And so we go against the grain. And to survive and to endure, you know, 15 years of this project, there is a certain desire to prove an idea that takes an enormous amount of determination.
And what does a zero-waste restaurant, I suppose, look like to maybe somebody who isn't familiar with the underground workings of a food production environment?
So we don't have a general waste bin. So that's the bad bin, the bin that badly designed materials go to die, so plastic and polystyrene and non-circular materials, okay, part of the broken bad system. Now we have a compost bin, that's a good bin, a recycling bin, that can be a good bin too. And we work directly with regenerative farms, in fact exclusively with farms that are making nature better. And so that's fundamentally the most important intervention as a restaurant we can make. And so so that's it. We don't have a general waste bin, and we only work with farms that are making nature stronger.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one side of the equation. Another one, and this is very much the future as well. I'm delighted to be welcomed to Simon Stenning. He's the founder of Future Food Service. And Simon, I know you've had a background in producing industry reports around food trends. You know, we're in a world of massive disruption at the moment. What are the trends that you see now, and what do you see coming down the track?
So we've got some real conflicting trends. We've got and have had for the past few years a complete anathema to what Doug's talked about, the Americanization of the way in which we eat, the growth of fast food, the growth of brands coming over here, highly commercial, highly appetizing food, but in all the wrong ways, high UPFs. We've got a situation certainly in the UK where our obesity rates and consumption of UPFs, we're doing really well. We're catching up with the States, which is, you know, amazing, isn't it? It is incredible. No, it's incredibly worrying. And then at the same time, we've now got the use of GLP-1 drugs. And that is it's only a small proportion of the population, maybe 5%, maybe 10%, maybe 12% in total, considering reducing what they're eating. And that is forcing people to switch off their desire for food, and therefore looking for smaller and more nutrient-dense products. It's not necessarily great, though, because those can also be artificially produced.
Are we seeing restaurants changing portion size? Are we seeing people going out less frequently because they no longer have the desire? I know some of these drugs, they quell the appetite for alcohol as well. So are pubs being affected?
We've seen a decline in alcohol consumption over the last, well, it's probably over the last 20 years. We no longer go down the mine and come up from the mine at the end of a day's work and need 10 pints to refresh ourselves. Younger generations not interested in drinking alcohol in the same way. So that's certainly been happening, and we've got a decline of pubs in the UK, not solely as a result of that, but it's part of it. GLP-1s and reducing frequency of eating out, there's no hard evidence of that just yet, but we have got a reduced frequency of people going out to eat and drink as a result of the cost of living crisis, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, etc., driving up costs, restaurants passing them on, at the same time consumers being squeezed with their incomes. Well, naturally, if it costs you more to do something and you've got less money to do it, you're going to do it less often. So frequency's been on the decline. And this is where we've seen a polarization. So we see cheaper, value-driven, convenient foods at one end of the polar spectrum, which are easy to access, digitally ordered, delivered to home, etc., cheaper, not so great. That's growing. At the other end of the spectrum, less frequent, more special, premiumized. We call it the pleasure principle. We're doing it less often. We're investing more money, but we're also investing more time into those occasions. So give us more pleasure back. Okay. And that's happening. From a GLP-1 perspective, we're yet to see a volumes decline. And I think people who are on GLP-1s currently will still go out. They just won't necessarily buy so much, or they might indeed waste more. And that is a concern.
Yeah, and on that, Doug, sometimes does it disappoint you that maybe people don't view waste clearly like you do? That you're doing all this and you sometimes end up getting disappointed because not enough people care?
No, never. I'm very aware of the unique scenarios that have led me to do what I do. That's an artistic expression, if anything. Now, I don't want people to express themselves in the way I express myself. And I know how difficult it is to survive in the restaurant business. And, you know, I appreciate that the environmental implications of your work is way down the priority list, you know, survival being near the very top. And so I'm just acutely aware of that struggle and do not, you know, wish anybody to have endured the struggles that I've felt, the personal sacrifices. Like, I get why people don't want to make those decisions. It makes perfect sense. And so, yeah, no discrimination here.
There seems to have been a level of, let's call it, corporate dishonesty around food. We've been sold, you know, a processed that's manufacturing driven rather than customer led. Maybe we've sold out too cheap. We haven't paid farmers enough for producing stuff. So it seems to me like an awful lot of things could be coming back to bite us.
Yeah, I wrote down the other day, hope will not fall from the top, it will rise from the bottom. Just the thought of waiting for instruction from, say, the government to do the things that I think are really important. Yeah, it's just never watching paint dry. And so I just don't believe in that. I'm part of a system that doesn't allow me to do what I need to do. You know, I without investment set up a restaurant that doesn't have a bin, and we work with I call them pirate ships. We work with trading across the ocean for different pieces of, you know,
you're bringing goods in under sail, no oil or gas used in the delivery right across the world.
Emission-free cargo, training around the world. We have a fermentation factory where we grow mold on food to prevent food waste. We have a glass pottery that turns all of our waste wine bottles into high-value luxury plates and crockery and tableware. No one's ever incentivized any of this. I just do it. And you can just do it. You don't need to wait for permission.
Simon, last word to you. If we can end on some note of optimism, but if we look at food service, certainly in the last couple of years, we've been hearing real loud voices from right across the industry that this is a tricky business to survive in, that they've had an avalanche of costs. It's a difficult business. You're trying to motivate and retain staff. It doesn't make it a really attractive place. Yet, you know, you'd often say to people who work in the industry, they'd never work anywhere else.
Yeah, it is incredibly difficult. I've described this year, this is the new normal. Get used to it. There's no growth. Nothing's going to drive growth. There's no external drivers. Therefore, if you want to grow, as in revenues or profitability, you got to do something different. So the theme of our annual report this year was reinventing hospitality. And it was recognizing that we've maybe gone down too far the route of the friction-free autonomy and digitalized. Actually, we've got to put some friction back in. We've got to elevate service again. We've got to make those occasions when people are coming out, make them really special. And unfortunately, there's too many occasions where we haven't put the training in. And the service is not quite right. We've cut corners in kitchens. We're not doing things properly. Now, it's really difficult, or maybe it's really easy for me to say, as a theme for this year and as a forecast, reinvent hospitality. But the reality is, and this is easy for me to say, if you don't do it, well, you're going to suffer.
Someone else will.
Yeah. Ultimately, though, I honestly believe, and it's through the passion and commitment of people like Doug, the innovation and creativity that exists in hospitality. We're an amazing industry where people will just go and do, sod the government. We will just go and do, and that will make it succeed.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Thanks to my guests, Doug and indeed Simon. Great to hear to the future of food from two different perspectives. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.